Drew Hirschfeld is Commissioner for Patents for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. He was appointed to this position in July 2015. As Commissioner for Patents, Mr. Hirschfeld manages and leads the patent organization as its Chief Operating Officer. He is responsible for managing and directing all aspects of this organization, which affect administration of patent operations, examination policy, patent quality management, international patent cooperation, resources and planning, and budget and administration. I'm thrilled that we have the PTO at these hearings because we have been very lucky to have a good working relationship with PTO throughout our exploration of IP issues going back to the early 2000s and probably before that. So thank you very much, and please join me in welcoming Drew Hirschfeld.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you to the FTC for having me and my colleagues here at the start or at the second day of your two-day hearing on competition and consumer protection. It's my honor and pleasure to be here, and happy to be able to share some words with you this morning before I will join on the panel very shortly. I thought this morning I would address two questions that I know are central to these hearings. One of those questions is, what is the role of intellectual property in promoting innovation? And the second question is there a role for the government in advancing or supporting innovation? So let me start with the first question, and that's, what is the role of intellectual property in promoting innovation? And of course, I'm going to focus, as Commissioner for Patents, I'm going to focus on patents for my remarks, and I think we all recognize that the patent system creates incentives for inventors. You, of course, have your limited time for a monopoly where inventors can reap those incentives. It is certainly my opinion, and I know it's shared by many, that those incentives are what really drive and foster innovation and hence competition that goes along with it. Of course, the patent system fosters disclosure as well, and that disclosure, what you get in return for your patent right, that disclosure helps others see your invention, and of course, that also fosters competition. So I know I'm starting very basic, but what I thought I would do is give an example of an inventor who I ran into contact with on multiple occasions, actually in the last 2 weeks, because I think this inventors can best speak for themselves about the benefit of intellectual property, and in particular, the patent system. So the inventor I'd like to mention is Dr. Lonnie Johnson. Dr. Johnson was brought to USPTO by Director Andre Iancu as part of a series to educate our own staff on the larger patent system and what happens after patents are issued by the examiners at the USPTO. And I found Dr. Johnson's story to be very, very illustrative of the benefits of the patent system. So let me give a little bit of his background. He is what I think you would define as the classic tinkerer. He started in high school as a student and started to make a robot out of his sister's toys. I think he used her walkie-talkie to get the antenna, and he even started a fire in his kitchen when he was working with rocket fuel to do experiments in his kitchen. And he tells a very funny story about his father not chastising him for working with the rocket fuel, but chastising him for creating a fire in the kitchen and asked him to use the rocket fuel outside. After he graduated high school, he went on to get a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering from Tuskegee University, went on at the same university to get a Master's in Nuclear Engineering and an Honorary Doctorate degree in Science. He then proceeded to work for the Air Force and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where he worked on space nuclear power safety, non-nuclear strategic weapons technology, and he helped develop some of the nation's most advanced technological achievements, including the Galileo mission to Jupiter, the Mars Observer Project, and the Stealth Bomber, to name a few. More recently, he is on his own, has created multiple companies working on advanced battery technology. So why am I talking about Dr. Johnson related to patents? The reason is because Dr. Johnson is a prime example of how the patent system has fostered his own innovation, and he was able to reap the benefits from his patents, fostering more innovation by himself, fostering the creation of companies and jobs alike. So it really is a wonderful story. He has currently issued to him over 100 patents. I know they range in technologies, including, I believe, patents on topics related to spaceflight, digital technology, and I mentioned the advanced batteries that he's working on. And his actually most famous invention is the Super Soaker, which I'm not sure if you all know what the Super Soaker is, but if you've ever seen that high-powered water gun that can really spray a huge amount of water at once, he is the inventor behind that. That Super Soaker actually was, I believe, in the 90s, year after year, the top-selling or one of the top-selling toys. So he's a wonderful example of a variety of technologies ranging from high-tech to water guns, where he has been able to achieve success in what he is working on, all based on the patent system. When he was asked recently, when he was at USPTO, somebody asked him about what was key and what role did the patents play, and his response was the patents were key to his success, and particularly his own personal success, and it had a huge financial impact enabling him to make further successes from that. So it's a wonderful story, and to me it really illustrates the tangible benefits of the patent system. And of course, if you're ever asked, does it take a rocket scientist to build a water gun, I think now we know that the answer is absolutely it does, if it's going to be the top-selling gun, water gun that there is. So anyway, that's my story about Lonnie Johnson. I think it's a wonderful story. I actually struggled because in the last 2 weeks I've run into three or four people whose stories would have been wonderful here to support the same concept, but Dr. Johnson really stands out. This brings me to my second question that I told you I would address, and is there a role for the government in advancing or supporting innovation? And I, of course, believe that the resounding answer to that is yes, there absolutely is a critical role, starting with the USPTO, whose mission is to foster innovation in and of itself. I wanted to talk today and the remaining few minutes that I have about some of the ways we are very focused on fostering innovation. And this I want to share some thoughts of Director Yanku, who is in his first year at USPTO, who came in with a very laser focus on a few items. At the top of that list, in my opinion, is making sure that we have a narrative that is directed to and focused on the great benefits of the U.S. patent system and what it has done for this country and how it has advanced this country. And in my own personal opinion, what Director Yanku is acknowledging is that while there are challenges in the patent system, while it is very complex, we can address those challenges. Challenges are not new to the patent system. The challenges, of course, change as we move on. But what is most critical and foundational is to not lose sight of those wonderful inventors like Dr. Johnson, who advance technology, who create jobs, who advance our country, and really move us forward in an unmatched way. So absolutely part of our job in the federal government, and particularly USPTO, is make sure we are educating and sharing those stories. Some other areas that we are very focused on are what we've been saying are three main priorities right now at the USPTO. These are to address some of the concerns that have been in the system to make sure that we are able to focus on those great success stories. One of those, and at the top of the list for me personally, is regarding subject matter eligibility, and I believe FTC is likely planning a hearing on that coming up, and I know USPTO is planning much in this regard. There has been recent Supreme Court case law. It has changed the landscape, so to speak, in subject matter eligibility. USPTO has been working on guidance to interject more certainty and reliability in the decisions based on what is eligible and what is not eligible, so that we can all be on a better field. So we have issued a couple memos that have come out. If you get a chance to read those memos, one is on Berkheimer and Vanda. I don't want to get too weedy here, but I thought I'd mention the names. If you get a chance to read those, I think you will see we spent a lot of time to make sure that what is in there for guidance is repeatable and puts everybody on the same understanding of what decisions will be made regarding subject matter eligibility. We're also working on new guidance. I don't know exactly when that will come out, but we are working on new guidance with this same concept in mind, again, making sure that decisions are all understood by everybody and there is repeatability to that, adding certainty into the system. Another area, and I believe it will be a significant topic of the panel to follow, regards the Patent Trial and Appeal Board. I'm happy to have Acting Chief Judge Scott Bolick here on the panel with us. Suffice it to say, we are taking steps to make sure we're addressing concerns that were raised for the PTAB. Of recent, there was a notice on claim construction. We've also taken steps with regard to precedental opinions to increase the transparency and improve the decision-making process in what is precedental for the PTAB, and I'm sure there will be steps on the horizon. And the last of the three that I wanted to mention, which is a central pillar of what a patent examiner does, is the patent examiner search. We are taking numerous steps to make sure that the best prior art is in front of examiners as early as possible in prosecution, so that the best decisions can be made regarding the patentability of any particular patent application that they have. Ranges of projects we're working on include an electronic system that automatically brings in prior art for the examiner based on related U.S. cases. We actually released a notice yesterday to announce the kickoff of this project. It is starting in a small way and will scale up once we work out all the details. This is an absolute win-win for not only the office, but also the public, as many of the public's duty to disclose requirements are met when we already have the references. We also have put into place in recent times Global Dossier, which is another way to look at related foreign cases and the prior art that was in them. We are kicking off a peer search pilot at USPTO where examiners will work together, both searching a similar application as a training tool. And a couple other steps we're looking at are artificial intelligence. I think that there is a very significant future for artificial intelligence in search. We have 8,000 plus examiners. They're all searching. We can take best practices and use that to feed back into some type of artificial intelligence system to make the prior art search better. We've taken a number of steps for initial programs that I've been able to see. They're not ready for release yet, but they're certainly going in the right direction. And in September, we had a request for information for the public that was released on artificial intelligence so we can gain much more. So in any case, I know I am at the end of the time for my remarks. I wanted to share those three priorities with you and my parting thought before we move on to the next speaker is really all of the goals that we have at PTO are to make sure we are making decisions that are transparent, you know, and repeatable and predictable, and we believe that will add a lot of certainty into the system so people will know when their patents, how those decisions were made regarding those, and it puts them in the best position to move forward. So thank you very much again for having me here. I'm looking forward to the panel after, and have a great second day to the hearing.